This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, look. It's not sexy, but as a fact, I can stuff multiple quarters in my nostrils. That's right. It came in handy for a bar trick or two in my younger days and never came in handy again because it literally serves no purpose. However, I am blessed, quote unquote, with big nostrils. Good for me. Well, an 18-year-old man in India, he has a condition called hypertrichosis, a.k.a. werewolf syndrome, a.k.a. excessive hair growth. Now, it happens to about 1 out of every 1 billion people, but this guy, unlike the other 7 people on this planet, he's officially in the Guinness Book of World Records for the hairiest face on a person.
Oh, yeah.
That is literally what it is called, hairiest face on a person. And I'm not making this up when I say this dude looks like Teen Wolf. So you're thinking, well, congratulations? Well, yeah, actually you should congratulate him because part of his quote, he said, and I quote, "I'm very happy to get this recognition." I would point out that if you look at his picture, there's no way he will not get that recognition. But then there's a 19-year-old Chinese girl who has patella dislocation. In other words, she can pop her knees out and then back in painlessly. And apparently she just does this like some people tap their leg or chew on a pen top. That's what she does. Now, she is not in the Guinness Book for freaky knees, but she is a viral sensation racking up millions of views. My advice, don't look at it because it kind of makes your stomach lurch. She pops them out sideways, pops them back in. She did not know it was weird until classmates were like, "Yo, man, you should see a doctor." So she finally did. And they said, "Well, here's the good news. It doesn't actually cause any damage to her because, again, she has patella dislocation." So me, I say, hey, whatever works for you. Now, these are just some of the stories we've come across, stories that left us with many questions, questions we'd like to ask you in the form of a random question, and here's how it works. You call us, we'll ask you a question at complete random, and after you share your story, we will share with you the news story that inspired said question.
To be a part of the big show, the random question, call 206-803-ROCK. Like KISW on Facebook, follow us on X and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send those emails to themensroom at KISW.com. Hold the Charles, away we go. Welcome to season 20, episode number 4,277. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat coming up at 4:30. Right here on this very program, your guess is as good as mine. Our categories today, we have the states with the best and worst dental health.
Okay.
We're not going with the best dental health.
We're going with the worst.
We're going to make it easy for you.
I'd say much easier to guess worse.
Yeah. You think about the jokes. People don't have teeth. Mm. You've been to these places. You've traveled across this great country of ours. This might be the easiest category ever on your guesses as good as mine.
I would agree with that. Yeah. I mean, I feel like at least 7 of them we could probably nail.
You think about states that have a lot of rural areas.
Mm.
don't have a lot of cities, don't
SEC.
Have the best healthcare in the world. Yeah, they got good football programs.
Great football programs.
Food is delicious if you can afford it.
Yeah.
But toothpaste, too expensive.
Yeah.
Dental floss, not really something that's ever used.
Why bother?
So they say that they factored in several metrics. Percentage of adults and adolescents who regularly visit the dentist, the number of dentists and dental clinics, treatment costs, consumption of sugary drinks and energy drinks. So we have the top and the bottom 10 finishers. The state with the best dental health in the United States.
Well, let's guess. I would say somewhere like New Hampshire.
Yeah. See, my guess would be Massachusetts.
That was my first guess, but then I went New Hampshire.
I'd say California.
California? What would you say, Mike?
I'll go Vermont.
Vermont. Okay. So Massachusetts is number 9, and that's the only one you guys got right.
Oh, damn.
Illinois is number 1.
Really?
As far as, yeah. That's why we're not going to go with the top ones, because Minnesota's number 2, Wisconsin's number 3, 4 is Michigan, so obviously.
So those states. That's the place to be. Yeah. All right.
North Dakota does very well. So does Idaho, shockingly enough.
Why do you think that section of the country, right? Because they all border each other at that point. What is it about that part of the country where it's like, look, say anything you want, we got good teeth.
Yeah.
Canadian implants.
Ohio's number 10, which blows
Ohio?
My mind.
Ohio?
Yeah, I mean, next door to Ohio most of my life growing up. I never really noticed. There was a lot of West Virginia jokes concerning teeth. It did not matter where you went.
Sure.
So you don't go to Ohio and start dropping teeth jokes on people.
Right. Well, obviously not, because they're doing pretty well.
They joke to you about your lack there of dental health. Same with Pennsylvania. Same with Maryland. Mm-hmm. Same with Virginia. You could not go anywhere as a West Virginia without hearing at least one either inbred or teeth joke.
Did like someone from Arkansas offer up those jokes too? Like really, Arkansas?
You know, at
you
times,
murdered your cousin, you have bad teeth. Like, okay.
Yeah, I do remember a couple times where I was just like, you got to be kidding me. You cannot be making these jokes. So there has been a few times where I was insulted by the fact
that a person
was
from
making
this
the joke.
Yeah.
Yes, I could not believe. You've been to Blacksburg, Virginia?
I have.
It's in the middle of nowhere. It's an agricultural school. There's nothing wrong with that. Wazoo's 1-2. But in those areas, if you're near the farms, it smells like a farm.
Yeah.
It smells like cow crap. And if you're on the campus of Blacksburg at Virginia Tech, you realize that the stadium is surrounded by the farm area.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Penn State. I mean, basically, it's just one big farm / parking lot around the stadium. And so we're playing a game there, and the wind is whipping through the stadium, and it just smells like barn.
Yeah.
It smells like cow crap. It smells awful. And they're all screaming, go back into the woods, go back, go back. And I'm thinking to myself, you live in a barn.
Right.
You know what I mean? This whole place stinks.
Virginia Tech, kind of like Wazoo, are small towns in a state.
Yes.
Whereas, as a Maryland, like growing up in Maryland, like, you just think of West Virginia as nothing in poor Appalachia.
Well, right, you're not
West
wrong.
West Virginia is like its own city.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Correct. So I think that's why West Virginia gets more of those jokes, like,
We have a naval yard.
Right, like, well, you have Northern Virginia, which helps out Virginia. But
that's
West Virginia,
saying.
You beat, like, I don't know, Kentucky, you had Kentucky basketball, you got the Derby.
Derby, yep. Right. And look,
I think Arkansas got helped out by the Clintons because people were like, all right, well, there's a president from Little Rock. Whereas, like, no offense, but
there's
like,
nothing.
West Virginia, outside of Mountaineer football and
wait a minute, they gave us Gilligan. They gave us Don Knotts.
Mm-hmm.
They gave us Steve Harvey, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
They gave us Randy Moss.
Sure.
West Virginia?
Yeah. Jason Williams, his buddy.
Jason Williams.
Mm-hmm. White chocolate.
White chocolate.
Yeah.
I think I'm done. But still, I mean, there's something, man.
Bill Withers.
Bill Withers. There you go.
Yeah.
Ain't no sunshine.
Gotta come. So, oh, by the way, West Virginia does come up in the top 10 of the worst. So there's one right there for you. There's a freebie if you pick the category.
So you're talking about bad dental hygiene or bad tooth health overall, right? And we just mentioned Steve Harvey. Brother's got the biggest, whitest teeth you're ever going to see. There's no way they're all natural. I don't know that for a fact. I just refuse to believe that anyone from West Virginia could open their mouth that big all the time and your teeth look like that.
Jennifer Gardner, another West Virginian.
Oh, teeth. God, that's right.
Yeah.
But she has hammer toes.
You got
there's
teeth.
Still something wrong with her.
Hammer toes?
She does. Apparently, like, her toes are kind of hinky. Like,
yeah.
Like, Ted, you'd absolutely hate her. Like, if she wore flip-flops, was, like, I can't stop looking at your toes.
That was MC Hammer, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He did that. The other category is the unhealthiest foods on the planet.
planet.
The planet. And all basic food items. This is not like you're talking about,
so like bleached flour or something versus
these are everyday, just grab it and eat it type of foods that, for the most part, are accessible to all of us. It's not like we're talking about some rich, decadent thing. These are just average foods that are the worst for you. And it's amazing, some of the unhealthiest foods on the planet that show up in the top 100. Stuff that you never would think of.
Right.
Everything from smoothies to granola, barbecue sauce, obviously frozen dinners. Coffee creamer is horrible for you.
Coffee creamer.
But we have the 10 unhealthiest foods on the planet and the worst dates for dental. Coming up with your guess is as good as mine at 4:30. And today's the day we do our random question. Question 206-803-ROCK.
Random.
I give you guys
random,
one to start.
Random. Random.
I think you probably have a better answer to the one you're looking at than the rest of them.
What is the closest you've been to an animal that could kill you?
And this excludes the zoo, right? So, like, not to stand there looking at a lion going like, yeah, I'm 20 feet away, but.
And I saw a black bear.
How far away do you think it was?
20 feet.
And what do you do?
Pretty close.
When you see a black bear, did it acknowledge you at all? Or
it just, at first I thought it was a giant dog.
Okay.
And then I was like, that's too big to be a dog.
Uh-huh.
So you realize it's bear, maybe like 20 yards. I shouldn't say 20 feet.
Okay.
I don't know. I picked up a stick and banged it on a tree that was nearby, and he kind of popped up and was like, ooh, and then ran off.
Okay. Crazy man with a stick.
But the longest time, she wouldn't even know you're near one.
Cougars on the tree.
You probably didn't see a rattlesnake. And you more than likely, if you're in a warm area, you might have been close to one of those.
You know what? That's the closest I've been. I couldn't think of an animal, but when we were in Colorado, Denver, where we lived, it was a new housing development built in a prairie, but it was still under construction. So all the rattlesnakes are getting disrupted, disturbed. But, you know, when you're a kid, I felt like kids dealt with rattlesnakes better than adults did. Because you just choose to be scared of things when you're an adult. I'm an adult. I know it's true. No judgment there. But as a kid, they said, look, there's rattlesnakes. And we're like, okay. And they explained, we had rattlesnake drills. And they explained, look, try to do the buddy system. But even if you're not with a buddy, because they knew we'd all ride our bikes and throw dirt clods at each other out in the prairie. Look, if you get bitten, stay calm. Walk home. Don't run. Right? Because the faster your heart's going, the faster the venom. So we all understood that, and oddly enough, in the 2 years that I lived there, maybe seven people got bitten by a rattlesnake. Never the quote-unquote reckless kid, because the kids would see the rattlesnake, we'd steer clear. A buddy of mine, I ended up shredding a rattlesnake in the front spokes of my tire on my bike, and not on purpose, but we had, you know, every neighborhood has a suicide hill. So there's our suicide hill, and it dropped. Oh, God, I don't even know. As a kid, everything seems bigger. But it went down into the prairie where none of the houses were being developed and putting in infrastructure. But anyway, there's this one little trail, kind of cut through all the brush. My buddy rides down first. And the whole point was, toward the bottom of the hill, there's a pipe. And we're going to hit the pipe and pull a wheelie and finish the rest of the hill doing a wheelie. Because that's what kids do when you're 8 years old. So my buddy's in front of me, and he veers off hard right. Just absolutely doesn't want to do it. In my mind, I'm thinking, chicken. Well, I realized way too late that the pipe that I'm looking at is not a pipe. It is a rattlesnake. Okay, I don't know exactly what happened, but I flip over the front of my bike. I go down. The best we can surmise is I had to walk my bike back home. My father sees this bloody front tire. He's like, oh, my God, are you all right? I'm like, it ain't my blood, man. So he starts digging through, and he realized it was a rattlesnake, and all he can guess is when the bike got close and it got disturbed, it tried to snap its head up, got caught in the spokes, and these things are thick. I can't even explain. Yeah. It's like a cable, but it stopped my tire from going forward, so I'll flip over the handlebars. So that's the closest I've gotten.
All right. I've had in...
We've all swam in the ocean. So
I was going to say,
man. You've got to be close to a shark.
You don't want to know.
Yeah.
But what if you found out that you were 15 feet away from a shark?
Would you want to know if they said all the times you've been in the ocean?
All right? Or all the time you've just been close to an animal that could kill you? Maybe you didn't even know it. Maybe there's a cougar that you walked by on a trail that was underneath a rhododendron you didn't see.
But I feel better about land animals. And look, I'm not saying a cougar couldn't take my ass out, but the one thing about like a cougar, all right, we probably weigh about the same, but it's on land.
You're in your element.
That's where I'm in the woods.
Okay.
But I definitely feel, because a shark, there's no fight back, man. I can't plant my feet and do something.
If you're Michael Phelps, do you feel better about being in the water with sharks?
No.
You could be the best swimmer on this planet ever.
When I
it doesn't change the game.
A manatee swims faster than Michael Phelps. It tells you all you need to know.
My family and I, we went to Hawaii one time. We were doing a snorkeling off the beaches and whatnot, and I remember I was looking down and I was kind of diving out and checking stuff out. There was something in the sand that I went down and checked out, and then I looked it up. It's this guy right here. There's a sea snake that was down there.
No,
and I do
dude.
Know that if it's in the water and it's a snake, it's probably not good for
bad.
You to know. That
no,
guy is
very they're apparently those are the ones that have more
venom
than anything else.
So as soon as I saw a snake around, I was like, and I'm done. And I sprinted out of that water, man. Because it's the same thing. I can't move that fast in the water. And
do
I'm
they
out.
Recommend that you poke things in the sand when you're snorkeling?
Well, you know, dive down and see what it is. You know, not necessarily poke it or get too close to it, but go and examine
I'll
some
tell you
stuff.
What, you want to see some craziness go down as far as bringing out the woodwork, so to speak, underwater. Pick up a sea urchin, put it in your hand, turn that damn thing over, all right? Because that is the
good stuff.
Caviar of the, I mean, that's your filet mignon. Fish will come out of nowhere and start eating it, and you cannot believe...
As soon as you flip it over.
What is coming out of the woodwork to eat the underneath side of that sea urchin? I mean, it must be delicious. I hate it.
How many times did you do this?
All the time. I mean, just like it was fun. Because, you know, like, you want to get it. Like, I have, like, my little.
I thought getting sea urchin was tough to do.
No, they're just on the bottom of the
you don't want to step on them, but
no,
I mean,
no, you just
recognize
them up,
it's
you pick
there.
Them up, hold
yeah.
them right. and flip them over.
And the fish instantly.
And
shot.
Then I had my little disposable underwater camera. Tick, 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 boom, boom, boom. Like all the little neat tropical fish that were coming up, I take. And then, like, this huge-ass fish, which I couldn't even identify, I'd come up and grab the whole damn thing and take it with him.
See, that's my problem with the tractor.
Like a cloud of dust.
A school of small fish, right? So now there's a school of small fish, which just tells me slightly bigger fish are going to show up to feed on them. And then it just keeps going right. up the chain until I'm like, I have created a feeding frenzy. I don't want to be.
Okay, here. Ted, number one, we have the safe distance to view wildlife.
Ooh.
Okay.
According to the people from Brain Maze. I believe, to be honest with you, number one is the only one that you have been close to in this room.
Oh, the black bear.
No, the wild horse.
Oh, yeah.
You used to go with your mom and go over to Chincoteague or whatever that is.
Correct. And or Assateague Island.
Assateague, that's what they have.
They got the wild horses. I will say, when they swim them across that channel and they have them in that pen, it is scary. So then the ones they don't sell off the ponies, and some of them are bigger horses, people don't buy them. So they got the saltwater cowboys. You got to get them back across that channel, like, after the 2 weeks. So, seemed like a good idea. My mom was like, hey, why don't we go down there? We could stand on the side of the road. They got to walk right by us. Great idea. Until one of those wild horses, like, it, like, reared up. And I mean, it was as close as thrill as I am.
Oh, my God.
And it, like, reared up, and I was like,
Ted,
oh,
you're supposed to stay 40 feet away minimal.
I was probably, what is thrill to me, 5 feet?
Yes.
Maybe about a good eight.
Yeah, but still.
Either way.
Safe distance, minimum, 39 mm-hmm. feet.
39 feet. Now, does that mean that the horse, if you're that distance away, does not feel threatened by your presence? Or does that distance mean you could probably make it back to your car by the time it covers that distance?
Well,
to me,
Nevada has wild horses, too.
Right.
Reno's covered in them.
So is correct. Like, I left one of the ranches. Wasn't the Bunny Ranch. It was the other one down the street. And we had to, like, stop the limo because there was horses all over.
Okay. So you've been close to wild horse. Animal right. number two, that would be the bear.
All right.
Safe distance, 295 feet. I believe you've been closer than
I've been closer than that.
That's okay. A football field.
Next up, the crocodile at 65 feet.
Out.
Actually, give us the animal. I'll see if we can guess the distance.
All right. 65 feet.
65. How fast do those bad boys move on land? Because when you're a kid... It's always like they're really fast in the water, but they're slow on land. And then as more nature shows started coming out, and I'm watching these things on land, I'm like, that does not seem
very
slow to me.
No, they're faster in the water. So I was like...
Crocodiles are super fast on both.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I feel like
yeah.
the alligator is a little slower on the ground.
I was 20 feet away from a crocodile. It says safe distance is 65 feet. But the hippo scared the living bejesus out of me. I'd almost rather deal with a crocodile. Elk, I've been in this distance easy on a trail south of Astoria. They say 98 feet away from an elk. I walked up on one, was probably about 40 feet, 30 feet away before I realized what it was.
Does it, and again, when you're in that situation, does it turn and acknowledge you or does it ignore you?
It turned and acknowledged me, and it was a female, and I swear to God, it looked like a giant horse because it didn't have the horn.
Yeah, yeah.
So the face on this thing was just enormous. We just slowly backed out with the kids. That thing went off on its way. It was fine. Elephant, 196 feet.
I would feel more comfortable doing the full football
field. I've got 12 feet away from an elephant.
And this was in Africa?
Yes.
So what is the reasoning? Like,
or hey, they say in South Africa, yes.
How do they calm your nerves? And they say, just walk by and act like nothing's going on?
I just froze, dude. I froze.
Did it look at you?
Yes.
And did it... How long were you guys looking at? How long are you maintaining eye contact?
He was eating a tree.
Okay.
He didn't care too much, but he definitely looked at you. They definitely know you're there.
And how long did you look at it? Because it seems like in the wild, it's like, man, eye contact can equal your demise.
I'll show you pictures.
Okay.
It's crazy. I mean, you can see his eye looking at me. Wolf is 230 feet. I've never seen a wolf.
Bison, I've never seen a wolf.
No.
Bison, 150 feet. I've never seen a bison. I mean, I've seen it at the zoo.
Well, in Yellowstone, you just go up and pet him.
Right. And finally, a lion, 328 feet.
Have you been close to that?
10.
You were a lot closer than that, man.
Yeah, I know. It was stupid. More of the random question coming up, 206-803.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Rock.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room.
Hope to see you up at Stanwood on Saturday as the Daily Mix Show is putting on Stanwood's shortest St. Patty's Day Parade.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It starts at 11 o'clock at the Stanwood Hotel Saloon. Ted, you have been to the Stanwood Hotel Saloon.
Yes, sir, man.
Have you stayed at the Stanwood Hotel Saloon?
I don't know that you can still stay there.
That's just the name of it.
Yeah.
Okay. But either way, the parade starts there, and I believe ends there. And from what we understand, it's just going around the block.
Something like that.
Marching bands and a whole lot of fun. It's absolutely free. Bring the whole family. We hope to see you up there at the Stanwood Shortest St. Patty's Day Parade, hosted by our friends on the Daily Mix Show at 11 o'clock. All right, here's our random question. Question 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, random, Jesse. Random, welcome to the men's room. Random.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
Jesse, welcome to the program. Random question. Jesse, I believe that you can answer this one. When and where, Jesse, did you clog the toilet?
Yeah.
When and where did you clog the toilet?
Oh, man. You're gonna make me go deep back into some memories I've buried, apparently.
Depends on where you were.
Yeah, right? Where have I clogged the toilet?
I mean, if it's at home, not so bad.
No, still not good.
Not great, but less embarrassing.
Yeah. I did give an upper decker once in my life. I think that's as close as I'm.
So it was an intentional attempt.
Yeah. Are you guys familiar with the upper decker?
Sure.
Very. Yeah. Of course. What was the situation that you decided this is the time and place to do this?
So this is a weird one. This is in my early 20s, and a lady had just taken me home with her, and we had just done the dirty, but we didn't have protection, and so we did it, you know, raw as you would. And she had told me, just as a joke, oh, by the way, I'm HIV positive, and then started laughing hysterically. And this was her idea of a joke to get me to panic and leave her house, apparently. So I don't know. Just as after she said, no, I'm joking, I used her bathroom. and I left a proper upper decker for the first and only time of my life.
And then did you leave?
Oh yeah, I got the heck out of there, man. You better believe it.
Did you ever hear back from this woman, or was that it?
She was actually a close friend later on in life, and we would laugh about it over and over again. She was like, "No, I swear, my pipes were just rusty." And she would just keep trying to flush it, I guess. But
Yeah. Well, I mean, you did know the person, and I'm sure she eventually said, yes, I cannot believe you did that. And, you know, I found your...
probably not the best joke to crack, though. You know?
Yeah.
That's a pretty dark motivation. Joke.
Yeah. I've clogged the toilet a couple times in a hotel. Nothing like Hair Club did up in Anchorage, Alaska.
Oh, that, man.
He absolutely just... I mean, we...
He's a very timely individual, right? So he tells me, because it's the day we're leaving, we're flying back to Seattle, and he says, look, we're meeting in the lobby at whatever time, say 8 a.m., because this is what time our flight is. Don't be late, guys. I know you're going to get out and hammered, blah, everything that everyone would say to us, and rightfully so. But no matter how we felt, man, we got up. We made it. We didn't feel great, but we're in the lobby. 8 o'clock. Yep. Waiting on Hair Club. It's like 8:05. We even called to his room. There's no answer. It's like, what the hell's going on? This is just not like him. Man, it's about 8:10. Like, dude, this is great. About 8:15, Hair Club comes rolling down. And we're just like, why are you late? He's like, look, man, I had to poop really bad. And it was real bad. And not only did it plug the toilet up, but I guess it was crusting over the top of the water. Yeah. And I couldn't flush it down. But at the same time that this happened, I can hear the cleaning crew working their way down the hall.
He also didn't know what to do.
Right. So he's like, I'm in a panic. Because the cleaning crew at this point is maybe the next room over. And he's just got a mountain of S.
So we're like, how bad is it? So we go up.
Mm-hmm.
And take a look. I mean, first of all, you open the door, you're like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, he was not lying.
And then, you know, you go, I mean, there was nothing we could do.
It was.
Yeah, bro, you're on your own.
I think he left a 50.
It was a $50 tip.
He left a 50 and walked.
Yeah, he just said, yeah.
My bad.
For the cleaning crew. Well, we had.
I guess that's a little, I mean, that's better.
It helped. My daughter, man. And again, so she had blocked a toilet at a different hotel maybe the year before. And now we're in San Diego. And my wife and I were just going to go down to the bar, which the same building as the room. They know where we're at. And my wife even said, we should get a plunger in advance. And I'm getting on my wife. I'm like, come on, babe. Jesus Christ. Like, it happened once in Baltimore. It's not the end of the world. Don't worry about it. What are the chances it's going to happen again? Well, turns out odds are very good that it's going to happen again. Because I see them, they can't physically enter the bar. It's 21 and over. All right. So they're standing at the doorway and they're both waving their hands frantically like they're getting an airplane to land or something. So I walk over, a little bit of a panel, like, guys, what's up? And I just saw their faces and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I blocked the toilet. I'm like, dude, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding. We've been down here for 20 minutes and this has happened. So this time I refused. I said, no, you guys. Go up to the front desk.
What's up with your daughter doing things within minutes of you arriving on a vacation destination?
I don't know. Actually,
she's
the one
got to go.
The one in Baltimore, this was maybe the year before. The one in Baltimore, I went down. I'm like, hey, can I get a plunger? Because I'm not trying to get, you know, the crew to have to go up there. And they're like, no, we'll take care of it. I'm like, Jesus, okay. So the guy walks up, and he's pretty cool. Walk him into the bathroom. And so I see him look into the toilet. I got to profile this guy. He looks at me and he's like, oh, that's a monster. Like, yes, it is. But But to your point, Miles, last time we went to Mexico, we get this cool little place, right? And it has a pool. It's the only thing my son cares about. And it is about a block away from a bar that I know very well. So we land. We get unpacked. I say to my wife, I said, look, man, I'm going to go over to the bar. It's literally a 2-minute walk away. Going over to the bar. Been on the plane all day. I just want to get a shot, get a beer. She's like, cool. I sit down, I start talking to the bartender. He's like, hey, man, welcome back. I'm like, oh, yeah. And my phone buzzes. So I'm like, oh, hang on, I got a text. Your daughter's locked in the bedroom. No. She's like, she went, my God. Like, literally, I just sat in the bar stool, man. Walk back to the place. At this point, she's out of the bedroom, but the door is still locked. My son was savvy enough to figure out he could open his window. There's a place outside she could step and kind of walk down an exterior hall.
All right.
For lack of a better, and get back into the place. But, yeah. Her door was like, it's always her.
Yep.
Always. I don't know why.
Reason we asked, when or where did you clog the toilet? An international flight from Chicago to India had to return to its point of departure after 10 hours in the air to what is being reported as an issue with multiple clogged toilets.
Ugh.
Air India left Chicago O'Hare on Wednesday at 11 o'clock in the morning, spent a total of 10 hours and 9 minutes in the air before it ultimately landed back in Chicago later that day at 9:09 p.m. Rather than its planned destination of Delhi's Indira Gandhi International Airport. According to the press...
But why couldn't they land there?
Trust of India, because they still had a long way to go. So they were only in the air 5 hours going.
Okay, right, so it's 10, all right, 10 hours.
Yeah, total. It still seems like after 5 hours, you could stop at another airport somewhere over there and unclog the toilet to continue.
Well, you
got to
remember, Ted, so 3 hours and a half is Chicago to Seattle. So on a five-hour flight, they're already over the Pacific Ocean.
But you couldn't, like, hit SeaTac and say, look, man,
but
instead
my point
of going
is, you're
going
to turn around and fly 5 hours back. Like, I would have just been like, keep going across the ocean. Let's at least get on the other side of the ocean.
Well, they could.
Unclog the toilet.
Yes, that would be a great idea. Unfortunately, multiple toilets were clogged. 11 of the plane's 12 toilets broke down. 9 of 10 not functional. The single functioning toilet was located in business class. Upon landing in Chicago, this is a big-ass plane. All passengers and crew disembarked normally and have been provided accommodations to minimize their inconvenience. Alternative arrangements are being made with passengers to finally get to their destination. Full refunds, cancellation, blah, 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 blah. 11 of 12 toilets clogged. On one aircraft.
Random. And you gotta wonder, what was the in-flight meal? Are they serving? Random,
basically,
5 hours into the flight, you think they've given you something at least, right, to eat?
Correct. An aviation consultant says it's uncommon for one or two vacuum toilets to get clogged because passengers often flush tissues, diapers. It is next to impossible for all of them to be clogged due to only passengers' fault. And in a way that it causes an emergency diversion, that's what happened.
They're putting this on the passengers. I mean, I know nothing, about
there was nothing mechanical. They were legitimate clogs.
9 of the 10 toilets
that is
were inoperable. 11 of the 12 did not work because of what the passengers are dropping in.
That is correct.
God. Hello, Nick. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey there. That last one was a really crappy situation.
Yes, it was.
Yep. All right.
Look at oh. All right, let's go with this one. Who did you prank or who pranked you? Who did you prank or did someone prank you?
I don't know. I can't think of, I do pranks, but they're small, meaningless pranks, but I can't recall one.
Well, what's a small, meaningless prank to you? I mean, it could be hiding a rubber snake in someone's kitchen cabinet.
Yeah, something like that, sneaking up on my wife, or my daughter, you know, I tease my daughter, pick on her.
Yeah, all right, fair enough.
Kids, that's why they're there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. So no one's ever done anything to your car. No one's ever done anything to your home. You've never egged someone's house.
Oh, you know what? There you go. I did. I backed up my buddy's car one time. It was in a parking lot. No power. I didn't have the key or anything, but it was stick shift, right? So you can pop it in neutral and reverse it out. And then I left my sack lunch there in the car. So he had the evidence.
No, it was you. Yeah, you know what? In high school, probably a 1980 Honda Civic hatchback was a very, very small car at the time.
Yeah.
And my buddy had one. And four guys, honest to God, four high school kids could pick this car up and move it in the parking lot. And that was the prank they always did to Craig. They'd pick up that car and they
What kind of car was it?
It was a Honda Civic, but probably a 1980
hatchback.
It was two doors, but it was a four-seater. So there's barely enough room to squeeze your ass back into the
four seater should be in quotes.
I had a buddy that had one. It was rare to get somebody back there.
But the lineman could pick this car up, and they would put it strategically, like right between two trees, beside the parking lot, where there was only seriously like 6 inches or maybe a foot in between them. So he'd forward back. It'd take him like 40 minutes to just get out of these two trees. And he was just get so pissed off about it. Because when you're done with practice, you just want to go home.
But even if you find out who did it and it's four linemen, what are you going to do about that?
Well, he was one of them. He was also...
Okay, that helps.
So, I mean, it was his buddies doing it to him. But it was just the idea of that car. You could actually... They could physically... And they thought it was so funny that they could all...
It is pretty funny.
They could all pick up a car and just walk with it and move the damn thing. But they could. They're, you know...
I mean, it is funny.
Yeah.
It is very funny. If it's not
sucks
your car,
for that guy.
Well, yeah, that's why it's funny, though.
Reason we asked who pranked too. A man says he filed a legal claim against his brother-in-law following a prank in which super glue was poured into his belly button while he was asleep. The man writes on Reddit that his wife and her family are furious after he took his brother-in-law to small claims court, but he feels he had no choice. You see, a few months ago, we're at a family barbecue. I had a few too many beers, and I fell asleep in a hammock with my shirt off. My brother-in-law, who is completely sober, thought it would be hilarious to fill my belly button with super glue.
It is hilarious.
At some point, I must have touched it, because when I woke up, I had glue partially dried in my belly button and on my finger.
Yeah.
He says, we tried to remove it, but it was stuck. The glue had adhered to my skin, and when we attempted to peel it off, it caused some tearing around the edges. Now, while the man explained that his insurance policy comes with a $1,000 copay for ER visits, he went to the ER anyway, as he could not remove the glue on his own. They used a solvent and an ointment to remove the glue. And after everything, I was left with a medical bill of $2,253. He then asked his brother-in-law to cover the cost, but he refused. So after trying to resolve it privately, I took him to small claims court, and I won. However, he still hasn't paid. This has caused a major rift in my family. My wife is upset. Her family thinks that I overreacted. Users are overwhelmingly shocked that the man's wife isn't on his side, saying, I can't believe your wife isn't with this on you. Pranks should never involve going to the ER room.
I mean, but here's the difference to me. You go to the ER room because you're bleeding or something is broken. I go, right, that prank went too far. It's super glue in your belly button, man. But your body would have gotten rid of that on its own anyway. Just your skin keeps regenerating. The thing would have just fallen out. You took him to small claims court. Look, you made your decision. But inevitably, if they ruled in your favor and he's not going to pay, he's just going to end up having to pay more. You won't get the extra money, but, you know, you'll start getting fined and all this kind of thing. But I could see why the
is it so easy to go to court and not pay what you're supposed to pay? I mean, if you have the money, that's
because there's no real punishment.
But when guys get sued for all this money, like, you know, for an example, the Goldman family won against OJ for in civil court just about any future earnings he has.
Yeah.
He never paid him a dime.
No.
They ruled against him multiple times, and he still was able to live his life and not pay that fine. You look at, like, Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy. He got sued. There's all these different people who get sued. None of them ever pay.
But
I think part of it is filing countersuits and this
right.
and that.
You can drag it out. And there doesn't seem to be any real repercussion for it.
Alex Jones had a sell-off, right? Like,
but then they reversed it and said, now you don't have to pay it.
Right.
All these guys, Rudy Giuliani.
Right.
I mean, there's so many guys like, here's what you do.
Well,
no
sadly,
what the court
outside
says,
of,
don't pay it.
But outside of criminal court, generally, the way court works in this country is whoever has the most money wins.
That's it, right? Just hire a better lawyer. Like, I don't want to pay this. But in this case, like, look, was it worth causing a family rift? It doesn't matter what side of the fence you think the guy's wife should have been on. Like, dude, it was super glue in your belly button. And it'd be one thing if he glued something to you. It was just a belly button full of super glue. It's not ideal. I get that.
Right.
But don't lose your mind. Random.
You weren't expecting to walk out of a barbecue, though, and pay $2,300.
But wouldn't you just go to, like, I don't know, go to Home Depot and buy a solvent? Because inevitably,
well, the solvent could be there, but the solvent could also be able to take things off that are industrial. You're talking about human skin and flesh.
Sure.
I'm sure they've got something that's acidic enough or something.
And I kind of agree with the guy, though. Like, look, I've had mustard poured in my ear, which pissed me off.
In your ear?
Yeah, I mean, we were like 19. But if somebody had super glued my belly button together, to me, that's just a...
It's a different level.
It's a completely different level.
Yeah. It is. I'm just like, relax, man. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. Hello, Tanner. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Tanner, welcome to the program. Random question. Here's one for you. Tanner, what would you say is the dumbest way that you have injured yourself? What was the stupidest way that you've caused injury? Not by someone else super gluing your belly button, but what have you done?
Oh, man, countless times. I've had so many road rash incidents from longboarding. Right now, I'm actually sitting in the ER because I got an infection in my knee.
How'd you get an infection in your knee?
You know, I'm still trying to figure that out. Asking the doctor a lot of questions. Ever since I moved out to Spokane, I keep getting abscesses all over my body.
That speaks well of Spokane.
Yeah, no kidding.
Did you have a lesion or a cut before the infection, or you're kind of infected from the inside?
I think, like, maybe something on the inside. They keep telling me about, like, all the bacteria on your body and little sacs, and they can get infected and whatnot. So I'm really not sure, and it kind of sucks.
Yeah, I bet it does.
This is the worst one I've had so far.
Now, are these things you notice visually, or can you physically feel them, and that's what gets your attention?
Yeah, you can kind of like, it looks kind of like it's forming like a little pimple at first, like a little black dot there.
All right.
And yeah, I had one on my side right before my knee. I was able to hot pack it and get all that drained. And then I messed with the knee a little too much, trying to open it. And I think I pushed the infection down a little more, and it just started spreading everywhere.
Well, you need to get that taken care of, man. Hopefully some antibiotics will clear that up, because that can be really serious.
Oh, yeah, they're pumping me full of antibiotics right now. Okay. Hey, Ted.
What's up, dude?
Hey, LARP on, man. Sorry to hear about your cousin.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that. Yeah. Thanks for listening to the cast.
Breeze, we asked dumbest way you've injured yourself. Here's a crazy one. A man in northern China recently had to be rushed into surgery after he picked his nose so hard that he hit an artery.
Come on.
Now, they say minor nosebleeds from picking are common, but you'd really have to get up in there and hit an artery.
That's ridiculous.
They're way up there. So he was really getting after that one. He showed up at the hospital after he could not get the bleeding to stop. Now, we're only hearing about this because his wife shamed it for him on TikTok, the Chinese version of that, and revealed he's a compulsive nose picker who refused to stop picking. The video is in Chinese, and he's lying in the hospital bed while she mocks him for not listening to her. Doctors did repair the torn artery. Thankfully, he will be okay. On the list of the most embarrassing ways to die, though, that could have been number one.
Oh, yeah.
Through the nose. More of the random question coming up, 206-803-ROCK.